welcome back to the Challenge Ride or Dies or Happa podcast for episode 15. I am Brian Cohn. With me, as always, is Ali Lasher. Ali, how are you?
Wow, not my co-host. You're really throwing me off.
You know what's funny? When I started to speak, I was like, what word do I normally say? And I just like forgot, so I said nothing.
Listen, what comes up, Brian, must come down. And in the words of the great Akiva Winogur, they all can't be dingers.
You know what's funny? I actually like this episode.
That is rich.
I really did. I don't know. This daily was incredible. Even like the not so fast, I was good with. I just like the dynamics of them being back in the pairs. I really enjoyed. I needed to get out of the stupid teams. It was. I needed out of it. So the fact that we're back in the pairs, I was like, yes, this is what I'm here for. Ride or dies.
It's so stupid. Like, not what you think isn't stupid. Like, what you said is totally fair, and I'm glad. It's just so funny that, like, when I like an episode, you don't. Like, it's like, we couldn't be planning this if more perfectly if we tried.
When you're up, you're down. We need to find the Jerry to be in the middle. I don't know who that is.
Yeah, where's even Steven at? I mean, I thought by, you know, minute 17 of the Not So Fast, I was like, okay, we're really milking this out. And sure. I agree the daily was fun, but the fake storyline that everybody thinks Amber is a piece of shit is like, lost me at the end.
It is unreal. This girl can't catch a break. She could do anything. I had a tweet in mind. I didn't tweet it out. I'll save it for the podcast live. My tweet would have been, Amber B could come up with a cure for cancer, and they'll come up with a reason why she's just doing it for herself and not actually benefiting anyone. Like, she can't do a single thing without people hating on her. She gives people a hugs. She's being like ill-timed. She's willing to go into elimination. She's only doing it for herself. She's wanting to like do stuff with her boyfriend. Oh, it's like over the top. She it is crazy how much everyone hates her. It's crazy.
I really forgot about the hug. That is so funny.
She can't hug right. She can't do anything right.
Yeah, how dare you not get the timing of the hug right? I'm like quickly going to your very helpful list that you made on Twitter. Like, I'm sure people are going to tweet at us that we missed the, explanation for this on the podcast. But like, once again, to the haters, we have to watch the show and talk about the show. And the fact that this show made a meal out of everybody. You're trying to usurp the power. I couldn't believe Bananas and Anissa were saying that. People who have tried to solicit people to volunteer before as strategy. Like, right. It is not unheard of to try to coax somebody into volunteering such that your power can be usurped. And that's good strategy. To say that she is coming and taking the authority from the winning pair by going in is the most insane thing I've ever seen.
It's insane. It is expecting and like only taking the worst possible motive that they could have. It's almost to the point where it's like, is this what they all always just do? Like they no one else does anything on the show out of like the goodness of the heart. Everything is out of like pure strategy and manipulation and deceit. And like Amber B, because I genuinely believed Amber B and Chauncey that she wanted just to do it to like help Nani out and make the decision easy and not put stress on her. And Chauncey felt guilt about, like, as a competitor, like the fact that he quit, he wanted to redeem himself as a rookie. I believed each of them completely.
Yeah, because there's no other, like, there's five teams left. Like, people need to start thinking about the final. I mean, I think it's a stupid decision for them to have gone.
Oh, absolutely.
And yeah, we'll get into that. But like, do I believe that they made this stupid decision? Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
I've seen it done before, as Jordan so helpfully identified.
Right. Nice callback there to our original season. Always holds a special place in my heart.
I mean, that is a special moment. It's funny because we get Jordan, you know, a flashback to one of Jordan's most memorable moments right before what then becomes what I think will be another one of Jordan's most memorable moments, his participation and performance in this elimination.
Yeah, especially because, you know, the last couple of weeks he really hasn't delivered that much. Like, I think he's lost to Horacio. I think a lot of people would find surprising he didn't really perform in some of, like, in that daily, kind of like a similar type thing to this one he failed in. So the fact that he was able to completely redeem himself and push Anissa to the point of success and Not So Fast. So this was a stellar Jordan episode after a couple of weeks of some not so great moments for him.
And a stellar Brian Cohen line just there. Push Anissa to the point of success. That's a great way to phrase it.
Well, when she's like, what should I do? And he goes, anything. I would say that's pushing you to the point of success.
You frequently push me to the point of success.
Oh, no, no, no. The other way around.
But let's talk about Not So Fast and the point of success that Anissa was able to reach here. It was rough. I think, you know, 16 of the 17 minutes was about how Anissa was struggling. Becca said, is "Oh my cooch," the greatest line ever said during an elimination. I'm rolling. Bananas repeating it twice is giving me life.
Anissa, for some of her faults, having some incredible lines in the midst of competition. I don't know what that says about her. Like, I feel like top competitors are like so in the zone and focused. They're not like coming up with witty one-liners in the moment. But even like the elimination where they were like, "Anissa, you have to do this." She's like, "I know, I got it." Like, I guess it's a good thing that like she wins and does this stuff, but like maybe keep more of a focus and not coming up with like the Zinger podcast lines.
Brian Cohen showing up in an episode where Anissa has two dominant performances to say that Anissa should stay focused.
Well, that's what I mean. Like maybe like this is how she succeeds is being in this form. But I'm like, for most people, you would think that they have to be more focused on what they're doing, but Anissa can just do both. So kudos to her. I certainly couldn't. I could barely do one at a time.
There are certain pains that might occur in the midst of a challenge that you have to stay focused on, like in this right. case. And I agree, Bananas like amplifying it made it so funny. Like how much she enjoyed that was hysterical.
Yeah, and I would say, I know you said Anissa was struggling for 16 of the 17 minutes. I would say equally so, Kenny was struggling for the 16 of 17 minutes. And he really struggled for both ends of this elimination. I mean, like they said, like Kenny's like seems like a nice guy, friendly guy, good guy to hang out with, probably not meant for the challenge world. So not too sad to see him go.
Yeah, not going to get the sort of Chauncey exit of like, Amber, I'm sure you'll see you in the future. And Chauncey, like I liked the specific call out. I think it meant a lot to Chauncey. I do not think we will see Kenny in the future. Should we put him in the list now of where you want to see him come back?
I believe I had him last while he was in the show. So he is staying last while he's out of the show. Like over everyone.
Oh, I was like, did we put him in when he was still there? I have him before Turbo. Oh yeah, that's where I had him. I had Kim / Kenny, then Turbo.
Yeah, I mean Turbo. I almost put like his own special like category of like never wanting to see again of like people that aren't gonna like potentially like murder everyone in the house. Yeah, then Kenny would be last.
But so the other half of Kenny and Casey is that Casey's going home.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think this is also where this episode lost me a little. Like, I've enjoyed Nani sharing her story about her mom and the loss of her mom and the love between her and Casey. And that's all been very well and good. But I kind of burnt out on my capacity to really care about Casey leaving.
A little bit. But I think the challenge stats guy, I had to give special kudos to him on my Twitter. But he had an incredible stat that he laid. I don't know if you saw it. Did you see the Casey stat?
That, I didn't because Kyle Picard, the great Kyle Picard, did spoil me, which is totally fine, about Casey going home. And then I immediately got off Twitter, which was my own fault. So I did not see the challenge stuff.
So this is the first time Casey's been eliminated from the challenge. She made the final both of her other seasons or three seasons, I think. And she also won Big Brother. So like she is the first time in her history of like ever being eliminated from reality TV.
Was she not eliminated when Fessy was eliminated, like when they were eliminated during the final? I know that wasn't
before the final, but eliminated before a final.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is 70 episodes in a row since your debut, which you want to guess how you dropped the minutes, which is incredible. How many minutes do you think of that is for 70 episodes?
Okay, considering that I have watched all 70 of those episodes, I don't know that I need to know the minutes that took up in my life.
It's 4,014 minutes.
Jesus
which
Christ.
Is 2.8 days consecutively. So quite the run for Casey. And if you include like the 98 days of Big Brother. That's, you know, just now over 100 days of, watching someone on TV.
May I say something irrelevant to this conversation?
I would expect nothing less.
I saw a TikTok the other day, Brian, that was like an inspirational speech that was like, let's say you woke up every day with $86,400 in your bank account and it was going to be gone by the end of the day. Like whatever you don't use, you lose. What would you do? And then you'd wake up the next day with $86,400, whatever.
Yep.
And everyone's like, you'd spend it. And it's like, well, you wake up every day with that many seconds in the day. And when time passes, you lose it. And I thought about that and I was like, Well, I mean, when you figure that I've watched 4,000 minutes of Casey on television, I don't know that I've been spending that time wisely.
That's very true.
But here I sit.
The other minutes of the challenge are usually very good. But yeah, so I mean, it is pretty. I mean, look, Casey has been dominant on the show, whether like she's obviously not the most compelling personality, but she's been a force on the show. Multiple finals, a win. So to see her go out is a big moment. It's not like surprising given her partner, but it is a big moment. The first time that she's been limited here.
That's how I hope I am remembered as a podcaster when we stop doing this, is dominant, but not the most compelling personality.
Oh, that's definitely not. Oh, come on. You're dominant, but no one's going to say, oh, last year, not the most compelling personality.
All right. Well, I'll stop reflecting here. The interesting thing, and I put a little heart emoticon, lesson three, when Bananas is comforting Nani and talking about like being there and filling the role that Casey's left. And, you know, maybe that's why I'm not so like moved by Casey leaving, because this story really has not been the story of Casey and Nani. This season's arc has been about Nani and Bananas.
Yeah. And here they are. They obviously win this daily. I mean, there was discussion, whether we believe it or not, about them throwing things in the beginning. It's sure this performance would add credence to that. And they are set up very well to make this final and potentially win this final, which, I mean, I feel like we've been on like the other like Leroy train like so much more. I want to see Nani win, but I felt much more wanting to see Leroy win than Nani. Is that fair?
I mean, it's because we're sexist for sure. Obviously. But no, it's really, I think if I had to like put down a reason for this, besides just how much we like Leroy, I don't know, is like Leroy is somebody, is one of the names that immediately comes up when you think of somebody who has never won but could win, or you'd be shocked that they haven't won. Nani has never been physically dominant in a way that you would expect, or strategically dominant, frankly, in a way that you would expect her to have a championship. It will be great for her and great for the show if she wins. I will be happy for her.
Right.
But it doesn't feel like a long time coming or much overdue for her, given her skill set that she's demonstrated.
Yeah, and I think with Leroy, he also had like run of super unlucky moments where a lot of his partners got hurt and he got hurt. So he seems snake bitten there. And I just think he just wanted it more. Like, I think Nani wants to win for sure, but like, it just seemed like Leroy like just desperately wanted it. Like when Nani's been eliminated, she's never like broken down in tears because she got eliminated right before her final or didn't win the final or whatever. Like, Leroy's had that multiple times, like being so close, never would. So it's not like, I don't think Nani wants it, but it did feel like there was that extra desire that Leroy had.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't know whose story is being told here, as we often don't know. If Nani and Bananas win, okay. I mean, it will also feel like a little sad, though, because I don't mean to hate on Nani, because I also think there's a beautiful story being told in Nani's career on the challenge, whereas, like, it's been right in Leroy's grasp, and he's had the skill set the whole time, and it's been just slipping out of his fingers. With Nani maybe thought she would never win, probably, right, at some point in her career, and through her relationships with Bananas and Casey and her own self-work and her own realizations about herself and focus on the show, like, she's probably reached heights that she never thought she could reach. And that's a great story. And having, you know, the confidence after the fact, as opposed to the whole time, like, that's great. But is it Nani's fault that Leroy didn't win? Like, maybe it is. So it's right, like a little weird to see her go on and win with Bananas. That'll definitely be in the background of that.
We're getting close to entering this final, and we have two teams with like very similar story arcs going in, with like Bananas wanting to do everything he can to get Nani a win, and we have Jordan trying to do everything he can to get Anissa a win. And yet, you said this last week, and I agree. I think this is still the story of Fessel and Mariah. Like, I think this is, if they go on to win, like, this is their story of like Fessel getting over the hump and getting his win, and like Mariah now like being very much part of it and having to deal with Fessel's like wishy-washiness and fessiness. So I think this is, until they are eliminated, I think this is their story.
I agree with that. And really, except for Horacio and Olivia, now that you bring this up, it's a good point. Like, Tori and Devin also, their story is very like, I want to get over the hump and get that win. Devin and Tori have never gotten a win. Tori, certainly somebody who's in the conversation, is someone who could win pretty much since her first season. Devin more on the Nani journey of probably no one thought he could win. And now maybe he's in striking distance with the right six partner in the right situation. Really, Horacio and Olivia, unless they pull out a rookie win, whoever wins this final, it's going to be a notable person winning a final who
for the first time
otherwise evaded.
Yeah. Yeah. Whether Nani, Anissa, Fessel, or Tori / Devin will get their first win. And any one of those would be compelling storylines because they've, you know, either short term or long term have been such huge focal points of the show.
Beep, beep. Here comes the bus to Crazy Town for the daily.
I was like, we're doing the drinking game already? What's happening? Yeah, this was a fun daily. Runaway
Beep Beep is not the drinking game.
I know. That's
but it would be funny if we, I mean, I don't want to bring drinking and driving into it with the right. Beep Beep.
No, it's early, and it certainly seemed like someone might have been drinking and driving during this the bus driving. Runaway Ride.
Yeah. You are the bus driver.
So all cool people are known as bus drivers. Now TJ is joining that club. So do you think he was driving it? Like, I know he probably could. Like, I couldn't tell if he was the one behind the wheel when he was entering.
No.
You don't think so?
He was driving.
I don't know. I'm sure he would love to do it. I mean, I guess MTV wouldn't want to risk it, but she'd probably push for it. But regardless, so each pair is in the back of a bus with a bunch of like McDonald's funhouse balls, and it's swerving and, you know, doing all this other stuff, hitting stuff along the way. You have to look out the window and memorize the code of specific balls. You have to collect 10 in total, 5 for each person.
Nothing is less badass than they tried to make it seem when this bus came in. Like, there's just, I actually really like the challenge, but like, nothing is cool about a bus. And even when they like ran it against the like to get the sparks going and they had flames, like, this is a bus. It's not cool. When I get on the NJ Transit bus, nobody's like, ooh.
No, that, it is very fair. We've always been very pro. We need like the macro trucks and the big things and the explosions, and we need that to make a challenge successful. No, I totally agree. The bus, I mean, it was fun, but it definitely wasn't like, oh my God, we're getting on a bus today.
And I think maybe the listeners, or maybe you will expect me to say, like, this is, you know, form over substance and not fun to watch because it's like, oh, all these heats getting a bus. I actually really like this. I think we haven't done this in a while this season. Mm-hmm. So I'm fine with it. It was cool. And we only have, you know, 6 teams. So I didn't get bored of it. And it was very like, you know, the first ball up is 10. The next ball up, like, felt like they were in a lottery machine. I, as a New Jersey person, I like that.
Yeah. And this one felt like they use the form and substance for a purpose. It wasn't just like explosions just to happen. Like, it was part of it. Like, and clearly it was affecting them. It wasn't like they were doing all this stuff and it wasn't doing anything for them. Like, no one was getting sick. No one was messing up. It was nothing. So what they were doing was affecting them. So that at least mattered. So that makes a big difference.
I agree totally. Kyle Picard says, was the bus clean between rounds?
Yeah, I hope so. Yikes. That was such a bad throw up for Tori. I think she like somehow landed on her shoulder. That's a bad spot to puke on.
Honestly, that would be rough for me. I'm not the best. I don't like getting jumbled around, so I can relate.
Well, the one frustrating part, so unless I miss it, but it seemed like Horacio and Olivia also at 10 with Bananas and Nani. Did they say why Bananas and Nani won? I mean, it must have been for time, or did Horacio and Olivia get one wrong? Did they say what caused the
loss? I might be wrong. I thought they said the person with the fastest time when getting all 10 right, but I might have been, okay. I don't know why I'm saying that. I can't vouch for that.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I didn't hear something, but I must have missed why Olivia and Horacio lost.
Because it's fixed, Brian.
Right. Of course. Of course.
I did like how they pitched it as saving one team, even though it's effectively putting up 4 teams for elimination and deliberation. I like, sometimes I feel like they don't acknowledge that it's really just saving one team. And I like that they like made that the conversation.
Yeah. Good branding. It was smart.
But was it smart? Do you agree with their logic to save Mariah and Fessel because Anissa and Jordan and the Daves are tight pairs and Olivia and Horacio would have saved Mariah and Fessel and they can't trust Amber and Chauncey? Do you agree with that analysis?
I agree with the analysis mostly. I do agree with the decision because Fessel, more so Mariah, would save them. So like you at this point, this close to the final, I think you need a number one. So I think having Mariah in the game to save Bananas and Nani is pretty important because I think when you get down to like right before the final, people are going to look for Bananas and Nani. So you want to have someone that's going to save you. And I think Mariah would do that.
Yeah, I also think this has a lot of goodwill with Fessel. Like, wow, they saved us. And Fessel is like one of the last remaining people who's genuinely true to his word, mostly-ish. And I think this kind of goes a long way. And he's dumb enough to not really be afraid of bananas in a final. I don't mean dumb, more like ego-based. So he would genuinely probably save bananas, even if it doesn't make sense for his final game.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with both of that. I wouldn't say dumb. I think they have probably be the favorite to beat them, at least be pretty close. So I don't think it'd be the worst decision in the world to bring them to the final.
Wait, say that again? If they're the favorite to beat them, this is the question I was going to ask you. Like, while it makes sense this close to the final, like, why aren't we seeing people discuss trying to eliminate challenge threats? And I agree that Mariah and Fessel is a huge threat to bananas and Nani when it comes to competing against them in the final. So like, is that make this move incorrect?
I think both bananas and Nani and Fessel and Mariah think they could beat each other and think that they would both take each other to the end. So I think they're both incentivized to keep each other around because they both have the same viewpoint of each of them, each of their teams. So I agree with both of their assessments of taking them to the end, because for both of them, I think they're the two strongest threats. So having each of them look out for each other, I think is still smart just to get to the end and give yourself that chance.
I mean, some of it is hard for me because like, it's like, I think Fessel and Mariah are probably their biggest threat, but everyone else is just a less big but huge threat. So normally I'd like them to save the like weakest team. However, all of these teams, depending on the final, could beat Bananas and Nani. So maybe it makes more sense to prioritize getting to the final.
Yeah, I just think each of the other teams just have like a clear fatal flaw of what could be holding them back. Like I think with Jordan, like you would think Jordan, oh, you want to get him up over the final. But Anissa in a final is probably where you want to face her. Obviously, you don't want to face her in elimination. She's going to smoke you like she did here. So keeping them around is not like the worst thing. Tori and Devin. Devin in a final, we've seen him kind of gas out. We don't know how he's going to do with this situation. So that could bring them down. You have even Olivia and Chauncey, or just like the unknown of Chauncey in the final. Same thing with Horacio and Olivia. I think they would probably do pretty well, but they're rookies. We don't know. And then there was another team that I'm forgetting. No, that was it. Yeah. So those six. Yeah. So there's each of them where it's like a clear thing why you would want, you're fine with bringing them to the final. And honestly, I think the team they eliminated, I would almost be most afraid of in the final because the only other person still to win the game was Amber B. So, and she did incredible in the final. So I think getting them out was actually, I don't think they were doing this because they view them as a threat, but I think it works out great for them.
I agree. I mean, look, Amber was with CT when she won, and is Chauncey a CT? Absolutely not. But if this game is going to be won and lost in endurance when Anissa, Nani, and Devin are the opponents, then could Amber and Chauncey make up for whatever weaknesses they have without having CT? Absolutely.
Right. And if Chauncey's like big thing is heights, like there's usually not a heights thing in a final. So he should be able to do pretty well.
It was just funny. I mean, this goes back to them also hating Amber and Chauncey just so much because in theory, I know like Nani has betrayed Amber, but like Amber thinks she's so loyal to Nani. And the way they lay this out is like, all right, the Daves and Anissa and Jordan are a tight pair. Olivia and Horacio are a tight pair with Mariah and Fessel. Amber and Chauncey have no one, so we're going to save Mariah and Fessel, whose attention might be split between Olivia and Horacio and us. Like, in theory, they could pick up Amber and Chauncey here, mend the fence, and make them their tight pair. Now, technically, they're acknowledging that Mariah and Fessel might have split attention with Olivia and Horacio, but, you know, either way, I think they end up sort of making the right decision, but it is funny that they don't even consider trying to lure Amber and Chauncey into their alliance.
And didn't Chauncey and Bananas kind of have a marriage of convenience, like start working together on their team? So I would have thought they would have had like a little bit of a friendship or bond or something there. But like, at the Amber piece, it just clouds everyone's judgment about anything to do with it. They just can't see her anything other than like the devil. We have to get her out. She's the worst.
Caitlin G wrote a bunch of questions that we're just going to really discuss like throughout, but I just like the opening is, what is going on in Argentina with like, all these things that happened this episode?
Look at the title for an episode.
Yeah. Speaking of what's going on in Argentina, Amber and Chauncey cook up that they want to be the direct vote. And I mean, very simply put, we can just break down why this is a terrible move. Besides the fact that they go home, it's like, not only are they giving up a 1/3 chance of getting the safe dagger because they're like, oh, well, the other two will save each other, but still you have a 1/3 chance to pull the safe dagger. Mm-hmm. But also, the only other team they would have thrown down as the direct vote are Horacio and Olivia. And I would rather have a 2/3 chance of going against Horacio and Olivia versus a 2/3 chance or a 1/3 chance of going against either the Daves or Jordan and Nisa. And don't check my math, but I'm just saying they should have taken the guaranteed spot against Horacio and Olivia.
Yeah, because in the scenario they chose, they are 100% going in with a 2 out of 3 chance of facing Horacio and Olivia rather than a 2 out of 3 chance of just not going in versus 100% facing Horacio and Olivia, which would have been best case scenario. And they probably beat them given the framework of this elimination. The Olivia Amber B matchup would have probably been pretty tight, but I like Chauncey's chances over Horacio for the size dynamic. And I don't know if Horacio would outsmart it the way Jordan did. So I think they would have had they definitely would have had a much better chance. And I think they probably would have won.
And then, you know, they say, well, we want to know we're going in, which I think has some advantages to be like in the right mindset, but just tell yourself you're going in. Like, you know, like the pressure of being 2/3, having a 2/3 chance of going in is probably sufficient to get you there. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah. I think it's one thing to like want to know you're going in versus like being blindsided. And then you have to like gear yourself up in the moment you thought there was no chance you're going in. Here it's like you're going in or there's a 2 out of 3 chance you're going in. So is that extra third guarantee? Like what do you need? It's not like, again, it's not like a blindside opportunity here. You're going to win it most likely no matter what, whether you want to take the chance of actually not going in, I feel like is the more desirable outcome.
And to add to this, they're definitely going in against an unknown opponent, or you have a 2/3 chance of going in and you know exactly who you're going against. So it's still like ridiculous.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely preposterous.
So even Bananas and the rest of the vets can't make sense, heads or tails, of why Amber and Chauncey want to do this. And we already sort of speculated that they cook up groupthink happening live. They cook up that it must be that Amber and Chauncey are trying to curry favor. If they win and come back in the house, that they can say, you owe me one because I volunteered to go in, even though I didn't put any stipulations on that or say anything. And in fact, we said it's for us that we want peace of mind. Becca says, are you guys just as annoyed of the Amber hate as me? I understand you have talked about it at length, but tonight was extra bad in my opinion. Amber never said anything about making a noble decision, but people keep banging the drum that she wanted to protect people. Mm-hmm. There's no way the edit is hiding things from us, right? They duly justify these things.
I mean, look, I think they have to be hiding some. Like, I think we sometimes get a little hints. Like, I do think the hug thing, there was something to that. Like, I did think that was like poorly timed, but to the degree of this level of hatred and just like thinking just like the absolute worst of her, it is so over the top. And I just don't know where it initiated from or where, like, who started it, but it's gotten to the point where I don't know how she like almost ever recovers from this like stigma that she has.
It's crazy because you could also not like a person, right? If they're like, we're not friends with her, I don't rock with her, I don't trust her. Just to cook up this, I really do think, I said groupthink as mostly a joke before, but I think that is exactly what this is. This is like, they probably have some reason not to like her. They don't buy her what she's selling, and that's fine. And then they've now as a group concocted that she is like a bigger villain than she actually is, because that's what bonds them.
Yeah. There's just anything she does, they point to like the worst thing ever. She could, you know, overcook their bacon. And it's like, well, she's doing that because she wanted us to get sick and wanted us to like throw up in the final. That's why she was doing that.
And then she's out here like, I love everyone here and it's just so hard for me.
Oh, this poor thing. It's like, it reminds me of in Hey Arnold, the who was the like the redhead, like was her name Lila? I don't know, the one who said like all the time. And Helga just absolutely despised her. No matter what this girl did, she was like the nicest, kindest person ever. And Helga just Sasha, she was like the devil, the worst. It's very much like that dynamic.
At least she had a motive. It's because Arnold liked Lila.
Right.
And Helga liked Arnold. Like, at least I can understand a bitter girl.
That is true.
Aesop screaming. I listened to NGOG today and I'm like screaming and it's horrible.
Was her name Lila? Was that her name?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
I'm looking at Twitter and like some random person, sorry, Divine Flores tweeted, I wish Amber had some real friends on the cast this season, like Corey and Polly, who would have worked with her and not had some weird one-sided beef with her for no reason. And then a posted picture of the three of them. I didn't know they were friends, but okay. And then Corey, obviously, anytime someone says Corey, there he is. Absolutely adore Amber. I hate to see her get the short end of the stick every season she's been on. Ugh, imagine how tired we are.
Is this Corey Lay? Or?
Yeah. Oh, sorry, no. Yes. Polly said, yeah, tell me about it. Been watching it happen for three seasons now. She needs some dogs in her corner, D-A-W-G-S, F-R, which I believe means for real. Amber Borzotra, A, Jesse Palmer. Oh, that's Chauncey. Y'all need some help? Devil emoji.
Yeah, I've been like, it's.
I haven't read emojis in a while. I'm out of practice.
It's unbelievable. It's poor girl.
But then here, okay, Johnny Bananas writes, I'm going to read this after. I have to read this first. So somebody wrote, I hate how, so Reality TV T2 said, I hate how Amber is still so nice to all of them. She needs to treat them like they treat her behind her back. And she retweeted that and said, SMH, I can be so naive at times. Ugh, emoji. And then cut to Bananas tweeting, great game at Amber Borzotra and at Just C. Palmer, red heart emoji, clap emoji. And Amber writes, thank you so much for the love. Surrounded by hearts emoji. Appreciate you. Twinkle, twinkle emoji. Like, immediately in the next breath is like, thanks, babe. Like, love you to Bananas, who concocted this whole thing. Right.
It goes back to the same thing from last week where Devin was like, I'm going to do this very transparent thing and Amber is going to cling on to it and think we're trying to be friends. And then there's the confession of Amber being like, oh my God, Devin's so nice. He wants to be friends with me. She just wants a friend. She's so desperate for a friend. Like anyone can do anything to her and she will be ride or die with them.
Yeah. I mean, cannot relate. I'd rather have no friends than that. Yeah. I mean, it is surprising. And I mean, that's maybe the only thing that they could be hiding. Maybe all of his stuff being built in confessionals, because that's really, I mean, we see sort of Devin talk about it in his interview with Nani and Bananas. I did like that when they're like, we're interviewing for the position of direct vote. But in the deliberation, Devin did like grab that and run with it. Now he has more of a reason to do that because he's trying to save his own behind. But maybe the narrative being built just in confessional with like Anissa's confessional, Bananas confessional is so that we have some story happening in this episode, because if they react like, oh, well, that's great. Amber and Chauncey are going in and everyone's happy about it. We have no episode.
Right.
I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But it happens too frequently for it to be that.
It's all the time. It's anytime she does anything.
Michelle said, I'm shocked Amber and Chauncey were the main vote. Chauncey saved Bananas when he had the chance, and Amber and Nani had a deal to save each other, and Amber couldn't even pick a dagger a few weeks ago because she loved Nani too much. I thought they'd be a candidate to be saved, not thrown in. Did Bananas and Nani make the right decision? I mean, volunteering aside, was this the right move?
Yeah, I think this was the right move. Well, you know what? I do think Amber and Chauncey would have been loyal to them. I think going after Horacio and Olivia probably would have been the move. Like, they're not saving Bananas and Nani. I think that should have been the direct vote. That should have been the move.
So my thought is, who's your target? If you're saying their target should have been Horacio and Olivia, I have to this close down to this few teams be thinking about the final. And as we said before, we're sort of splitting hairs between who can really win this season. But I would rather take out Amber and Chauncey than take out Horacio and Olivia in terms of who I want to run at the final against. So in that sense, I'd rather Amber and Chauncey be guaranteed to go in. I also think I would say Amber and Chauncey have a better chance of beating like a Tori and Devin than a Horacio and Olivia when they don't have as much help from the audience. Mm-hmm. But it's splitting hairs. I mean, you make a good point. It's do you care about the final or do you care about loyalty to get you to the final?
Right.
And who knows?
Right. And honestly, loyalty might not, like, we don't know the format of next week. It might just be like the winner just, and then they vote someone in and the rest are in the draw, and like loyalty is not as big of a factor. Like maybe no one's being saved next week.
Well, if they go to the draw, who knows?
Right.
But let's get to the zone. I mean, the most exciting thing happens in that Horacio and Olivia pull the safe dagger.
Yeah, very surprising. I thought they would, you know, it seemed like they were setting up for them to go in. It didn't feel like Devin and Tori were being set up to go in. It's been a weird, like, the only Tori storyline, really, if you take out the Jordan thing, like, that's really all her storyline has been. And Devin has had moments where he's popped up. But it felt like there's no way this is like a Devin and Tori elimination episode. So I was expecting them at least to be saved, but at least there was some drama with it.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wasn't reading the edit at this point, but it's, you know, a safe bet to do so. I was more in line with where Michelle ends up, where Michelle said, OMG, I thought Horacio had a whole episode last week about his bromance with Jordan. How did he not save him? Why on earth did they save the Daves? I felt like as soon as Horacio and Olivia pulled safe, I felt like they were going to save Tori and Devin, mostly because Olivia is always scheming. And I think Horacio could love someone deeply, but Olivia is going to be able to scheme and strategize. And I just don't bet against Devin's social game. I know that right. Horacio gets the confessional saying, well, Anissa said my name twice and, you know, whatever. I feel like this is screaming Devin has worked everyone over beautifully.
Yeah, I could totally have seen that going on behind the scenes. And I would love to see a confessional next week of like Devin, you know, offering that up. But I can, whether it was like an actual deal or a subtle deal, I could definitely have seen that happening.
I'm going to beat this drum for the third time this episode. Why is no one thinking about the final though? I do think the better move here, especially because you can't be thinking about loyalty, because Devin and Tori and Anissa and Jordan will never be more loyal to you than they will to each other. Why send Anissa and Jordan in here and risk them going home? I would rather have Devin or Tori or Amber and Chauncey go home.
Yeah, I kind of think, again, I don't think this is their logic, but I do think the biggest final threat is Amber being Chauncey, and tossing in Jordan and Anissa is like the best chance to get them out. So getting out Amber being Chauncey is like a good move. I don't think they're thinking that, but that's what they should be thinking. Like Amber B, put some respect in her name, did win a final and dominate, and there's no reason to think that she can't do it again. So I think creating the scenario that best chances to eliminate them, I think, is the smart move.
I respect the hell out of Amber, but again, Amber had CT as her partner. If Tori were in that spot, Tori would have won that final with CT too.
I don't know. I feel like Amber was like, she was incredible in that final. Like, what, I think she was like outpacing CT in like the running portion.
Yeah, the running portion for sure. But I think Tori can run. Like, I don't think endurance is gonna be Tori's issue at all.
Yeah.
I think they have very similar strengths. We'll see.
Right.
We'll see. Well, maybe we won't see Tori in this final. I feel like we will, but maybe, who knows? All right. So what did you think of Rumble Tumble? What a stupid name.
They have a big budget on ropes this season. A lot of tied together eliminations and duels and all this stuff. They're really breaking these out. But it was good. But again, it was just like very similar to something they just did. I feel like I would have liked it a lot more if it was a more unique elimination. But at least it had some extra element of like moving people around and you have to hit targets rather than just getting to one spot. But it was solid.
I mean, God bless them for not talking about this. I know Anissa is the only person who says like, oh, I'm thick, but I can still be spry. Like Anissa's size is her advantage in this. Like,
absolutely.
I couldn't even sit through the coverage of like Amber's got heart and who knows, it's anyone's game. Like Amber didn't stand a chance. And in some ways where Anissa has, you know, for the reasons that we think Anissa might not be the biggest asset in the final, right? Like she doesn't have certain strengths in the final. Her size is her superpower and she is strong. And I was like, why are we pretending like Amber, anything's going to happen to Amber besides her getting thrown around like a rag doll in this elimination? And that's what it is. Any given Sunday. That's why you don't throw yourself into an elimination, especially when Anissa is a possibility.
The only counter to that would be Chauncey's size over Jordan. Now, I don't think that size is as dramatic as the Anissa versus Amber size. So I think obviously that plays a part, but there was a pretty drastic size disadvantage for Jordan, and he was able to outfox the situation.
I think the size differential was double the difference between Jordan and Chauncey, but also it's Jordan on the other end of that, which right. even makes it more dangerous of like, I don't want to go against Anissa because she's strong as hell. And I don't want to go against Jordan because regardless of size, he's outfoxed somebody with an axe with one hand.
Right.
Like that's.
And tug of war and the Darrell thing right. where they're in the barrels. Yeah. He's done this rodeo before.
And it wasn't an axe, but you get what I'm saying.
No, but he won with an axe. He won an axe elimination too.
Wasn't it a hammer?
Or
it was a sledgehammer.
Yeah, sledgehammer. That's what it was. Yeah, same thing.
One thing, and it ended up not mattering, but I hate the 2 out of 3 because who is going to determine, like, let's say Chauncey did win, who was making the determination, which whether the women went again or the men went again?
They probably flip a coin, right? I think that's what they do.
I hate that. Like, it shouldn't come down to just like the one partner. I think in any case like this, if you have two matchups and one team wins one and the other team wins the other, the team who won in the fastest should win. So like Amber, if Amber was able to hold Anissa for longer, then then their team should take the total win.
That's interesting. I like that. I felt it could have been cool if they brought a situation where like it goes back to like the winning team, like they get so much more, like they like an extra power is in a situation that's tied. They pick like the deciding round. I've always thought the NFL, like in the NFL OT overtime should work that way, where like the higher seed gets to choose whether they get the ball first and stuff. But then like here, the higher seed would be like the team that won the daily that created the situation. They should pick how overtime works.
And that's, now are you fine with them? Do they have to do it before or do they have to see how the performance goes?
Oh, I'm doing it before would be kind of interesting, but I even doing it after.
There are definitely certain times where it's not, you know, necessarily that the same person's going to win again in the heat. But I think where weight is so important in a challenge like this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you pick Chauncey, I think Chauncey might have learned a lot in a second round.
I agree.
But I just don't see any world where Amber was going to beat Anissa here. So I think it's like, really, if you're picking Amber and Anissa going again, you're picking Amber and Jordan winning.
Is there a way they could have done this that wasn't too like, obviously there has to be some like what mechanism, but like, is there a way to do it where one of them finishes first, the other one gets like a head start or something? Like how could you think they could have done this without like a 2 out of 3?
Maybe you're going at the same time and there are more pillars to knock over. And so like, if one person can knock over all the pillars while you hold the other person, fine. Or otherwise you're both knocking pillars over. Like
they could have all been tied together at once. Right. And they're all like they're doing it.
Yeah. That could also be the something case like where you have to pull in this one direction. We've seen that before.
Yeah.
But yeah, it ended up not mattering. And again, kudos to Amber because she does like hold on longer than I would have expected her to, frankly.
Yeah, she does. I mean, look, she's a fighter. She does have heart, not to like do that cliche, but she, you know, she's pulled a few eliminations out. This would have been really, really impressive if she found the way. But
and I think as you highlighted the weight difference between Jordan and Chauncey, Jordan now foxes Chauncey, as you said. I mean, he could use a little bit of Fessy's I let my performance speak for itself, but right. he's really coaching us through that. The appreciation of his game.
But, he wanted to get all the credit for this one.
But not only was it smart for him to be like, I'm going to cut left or right and use Chauncey's effort against him. The fact that he's able to say, I don't need to shut him out. I don't need to get all three. I can let him get two. I just have to get the third. And at that point, I mean, we were all TJ, right? When he's pulling Chauncey and TJ is just screaming like, look at this guy, look at this guy. You know, this was going down in history for Jordan for sure.
Too bad TJ's wife wasn't here for that one. I feel like this would have been a more entertaining elimination now.
He uses shtick incorrectly, but I'm willing to overlook it given his performance.
You know, I had this thought where when Jordan, he like scuffled in the middle of the season, I think a lot of like the Tory stuff was getting to him, probably got to her too. I wonder him being eliminated and having that like emotional, like, I'm sorry. I feel like that was like a cleansing moment for both of them. I equated it in my head. I was like, not to be like a Game of Thrones spoiler, but like this felt like Jon Snow dying. And now it's like his watch is over but he's back in the game. So he's like cleansed of that past, and now he's just able to move forward with a new journey. I felt that's how it was for Jordan. Like he's like him and Tori can now just like kind of, they had the emotional, I'm sorry. They took whatever they needed for each other out of it. And now they can just move forward in this game and try to win.
I mean, I like that storyline, even if it's not the case. I'm not saying it isn't. It's like maybe the edit's over it. Like now we're only hearing Tori even talk about Amber, Anissa. Like she's not even addressing that Jordan right. is also in the contention. So whether it's true or whether that's just the direction the edit's going in, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. But as we mentioned, they get a really nice send off. Where are we putting Chauncey and Amber in the want to come back rankings?
Chauncey, let me pull up my list.
All right, while you're looking at that, yep. I'm going to put Chauncey fourth overall, want to come back, just below Jack, but above Johnny. I think I like Chauncey. I think he's got chops. I also really think we need Amber allies. Yeah. And I'm putting Amber under the tier of Nerys, Michelle, and Laurel, right under there, above Raven, because I think the fact that everyone hates her requires that she needs to keep coming back. And she's a hell of a competitor. So that's where she is for me.
Do you think Amber wants to come back? Like, yes. Do you think she's like tired of this?
No.
Okay. Fair enough. So I'll just read off my full list. So for the women, I would have Emmy last and Tamara followed by Annalise, Colleen in that bracket. Above them would be grouping of like people I'm fine with, Kayla, Veronica. Above them, Michelle, Nerys. And actually, I would put Amber below, like right in that spot. So Amber, then Michelle, then Nerys. I will Casey. I forgot about Casey. Where do I put Casey? Right with Amber B in that grouping. So we'll go Casey, Amber B, Michelle, Nerys, Laurel.
Okay, that's so funny because I asked you about Kenny earlier and then I didn't put Casey in. I think Amber's going to be higher for me than Casey because I think Casey brings a lot of competition chops, mm-hmm. but so does everyone so does now.
Yeah.
Like, well, certainly so does Amber, but so does like everyone. There really aren't like, you know, necessarily like that many quote unquote weak or non-physical people yeah. available. And I don't think Casey brings anything else. I think she's too loyal. She never turns on anyone. She's always going to be just an automatic vote for the Nani, Fessel, Josh, Bananas, like coalition, whoever's just like there. And, you know, like I'm over it. So yeah. I think I'm actually going to drop Casey all the way down on my list below Kayla and above Mariah, although Mariah can still be moved based on the fact that she's still in the season right now.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like, there was a stretch like a few seasons ago maybe where like it seemed like the women crop was like very top heavy. There was like two or three like viably strong competitors. Like the roster is deep right now for the women, almost more so than like the men that are on a recurring basis. There's a lot more options. I think we saw that with like the All-Stars 4 cast. There's like a lot of women in the mix that bring a lot to the table.
Yeah, totally. All right, let's land this plane. We got the drinking game.
Yes. There were nine for the week. Two Kenny confessionals. Amazingly, he had two on his own. There was one training montage, four dual confessionals, and pairs eliminated. What is that? Two pairs or just when pairs get eliminated? Okay. Two pairs eliminated.
I think I had that when it was like, if I remember correctly, it was like when it was split. So it was like when someone.
Oh, with like the redemption house. Yeah, the redemption house. Okay. Well, yeah.
We're keeping it. Elimination, whatever.
Yeah. When in doubt, drink. There you go.
I'll add when someone says safe. I'm safe. I want to be safe. I'm not safe. I don't feel safe. I pulled the safe dagger. The word safe.
I'm going to add, this is like a unique one, but I'm going to do a chug a drink if they change locations for the final. Like, if they announce location change, chug a drink. It's a big moment.
And then let's add a side drink for any time they say that location.
Sure.
Love Unique it. New York. Unique New York. Okay. That's it. I'll see if we have any reviews while you do your little plugs.
I was going to say.
I said it like that. While you do your little plugs.
Do your little stuff. That no one cares about. I think you did. Did you look? Do you want to discuss the All-Stars 4 rumored cast?
Is that still considered a spoiler?
Well, if you don't want to hear about the All-Stars 4
cast, goodbye.
You can drop off now, subscribe, or robiswebsite.com/challengefeed and everything else. New Girl guy, a bit on a really big banger. I do agree. There's the chatter in the street is very high right now.
And is that because we've just been doing it, or have the episodes been good?
Well, they do say the best ability is availability. So you've certainly been available. No, but it has been really good. It has been.
We talked for 45 minutes today about restaurants that are not accessible to the general audience.
Sometimes that's what people want to like see what else is out there. They want to know what's not available.
Okay.
No, but it's actually good.
We've had fun. I said to Akiva today, like, because I listened to it to edit it, was like, it is even more unhinged than it normally is. And he was like, we are becoming less and less hinged.
The best moment for me was when you added like the shot clock of like, Akiva, if your audio drops, we're just going to end it at any moment. And like, and I was like ready for it to end. Like, I knew how much time was left, but I was like, I think it'd make it to like the last segment. Is it going to get there? I don't know. Is it going to die? It was a fun thrill.
Well, I love that. And speaking of fun thrills, we did get a 5-star review from the silent majority, who says that they usually remain part of the silent majority who listens to the show and loves it but never engages. So thank you, DGBDHHS. BH, we appreciate it. And if you're part of that group, you know, what's up?
What's up? Yeah, so a couple of the key takeaways, highlights from the All-Stars 4 cast, starting with Leroy and Cam being back, and Kara. I think it was the big three of excitement. And then for me, the other biggest
link in Gmail, or what do I have to Google to find it?
I will copy and send it to you right.
Or in the StreamYard. I forgot we have a little chat.
Oh, I can do that in the StreamYard?
Little chit chat, private chat.
I mean,
yeah, that's usually when I like when I'm on with Rob and I like talk shit to Sam while he's on.
Oh my god, how fun.
Not about Rob, like everyone could see it, but
let me get the link. Okay, get some getting link music. That was incredible. For people that dropped off, I really feel sorry for you. Wait, how do I
I'll just
post
be
comments?
Laughing while I'll laugh until you figure out how
I can't,
to put it.
I can't post. It said add a destination to put comments. I don't know. I'm
no Facebook. Private chat, not comments. Click private chat. Log
oh,
in.
Oh, here we go. Private chat.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. Stopbeingpolite.com. Perfect.
Yeah, okay. So Cam, Leroy, Kara, and I'm very...
Ace getting a second chance? We love to see it. That's the headline. It. Okay,
that's sorry. The headline, Ace. Avery is back.
Why no Johnny if we're getting Avery?
Well, they are very much not together.
Right. Let me see a little divorcee drama.
I think him and his wife just had a kid. Still follow him on the Insta.
So Leroy and Cam just had a kid.
That's true. Yeah. And look, maybe Johnny's not getting a call. It's probably the more likely scenario. Those are like a very exciting a lot of the same notables. Brad is back. Surprised to see Derek back.
Wait.
Yeah, I have a bone to pick with my Twitter audience. I dropped that like the wait with All Stars 4, and people were like, oh, this could mean anything. Who this is about so many different people. It's like, no, this is about Tony. Tony's the wait guy. I don't know. Like, yes, I'm excited about other people, but wait. That's Tony.
You have brought, it's like challenge stats, how you usurped their power and took credit for the Nelson awareness. You have caused wait to transcend its original purpose.
I guess so. It's very upsetting. So even people that are like in like the strong challenge Twitter community are like, oh, this could be anything. I'm so excited for all these people. It's like, what are you talking? This is Tony. It's Tony. Like, wild.
It has now become more closely associated with your excitement than with the person who originally said it.
Yeah.
Even Tyree. Like, when's the last time you thought about Tyree?
When he was hooking up with Jasmine.
Whew. Tina back. Didn't we decide she's done?
We did. They didn't get the memo, I guess.
Steve getting another chance. I mean, this is kind of crazy. Like, Ryan Kehoe. Thank God. Thank God we can continue to be Kehoes and we're getting Ryan again. I'm thrilled.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's a very fun cast, top to bottom.
Laurel and Nicole. That'll be interesting because I know Nicole's in a relationship.
With Kara.
Kara, too. I mean, the queer women are out in full force here. Rachel Robinson, like, it's a great, it's one of the, is it the best cast? I'm willing to say it's the best cast.
I think it's the best All-Stars cast. I think we can go that far. Yeah. Jay not included.
Okay. What in tarnation? Where, like, what are we doing here? Not even with Jenna. Like, at least, I don't even want to see Jenna again, right. But at least that would justify his existence here.
I think they're doing it because they, obviously, I think they want to replay the flashbacks a lot. And I think they're going to, I think my prediction is there is a gross food eating thing early because they want to set Jay up for it. So look out episode 1, 2, or 3. I think there's going to be a gross food eating thing.
I mean, do they just want somebody who can go home early so that, like, the other people they actually care about won't? How does Jay survive? Unless Jay has been doing so much work, which I believe he's tried to do, but I don't know that he's gotten, like, the buy-in from everybody else. How is he not the first man in elimination?
He should be.
Okay.
It seems like a fun season. But yeah.
I'm excited. Can't wait for that. Also, Are You the One is back. That snuck in the middle of the night.
Yeah, how about Devin doing the promos for it? I didn't realize the challenge was allowed to tell people that other people from the show were on Are You the One.
That was good.
Yeah, thank you.
Will you be watching?
Probably. Is it all at once? Is it like a Traitors thing?
Everything or
is it
everywhere all at once. I don't know, frankly.
Paramount's usually weekly. I think I'll wait. I'll let it pile up and maybe I'll rip through it.
Someone tweeted us, you'll recall we were not the last coverage of Are You the One. We walked away from Are You the One, and there was great coverage going on by Adam and Iman. I have not checked in with them to see if they're coming back, but we are not your source from Are You the One news.
No,
we have not been for some time and we will never be again. Okay.
That is episode 15. Is it really still 22 episodes? How is it 22 episodes? How is there still so many more?
As TJ says, we're not going to the final yet. I would expect one elimination and then four teams go right to the final.
That's what I would think.
Do you think we're doing that next? What episode is this?
And this is 15. So like next week, I mean, unless we're getting some like two parters, but even then it's like
3-part reunion.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Episode 16. Till then. Not until then.
I'm on Paramount Plus and I could just tell you the answer that nobody cares about Are You the One?
Lay it on me.
After I just scream that I am not your source for, not even available on Paramount Plus. Am I crazy?
I thought it was available starting
today.
Are
You the One? It's not. It doesn't have an intelligent search. Okay. You know what? Goodbye.
All right. Till next time. Have a good one.